Lord, you're all I want.
Amen. All we want. Amen. If that's all you want tonight, that's all I want, and that's all I came for. And I'm going to expect to get that. And if I get a little bit more, hey, blessed be the name of the Lord, right? Thank you, musicians. Amen. Let us read Romans 12, 1 and 2. And so we can begin a fourth installment of righteousness. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies in living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we ask you, as we read the scripture now, that you come, Father, and you teach us what the meaning of your word. Father, you are the only one. You've spoken, and you know what you meant. Father, we stand here, Lord, and we yield our bodies to you. Father, be you the one that do the speaking, do the talking. Father, I will set myself aside. I don't want my thought. I don't want myself in the way. Father, speak to your people. It is your bride. It is a portion of your bride tonight, Father. And you know what they have need of tonight. I don't. But I believe and I have confidence and I trust you that whatever is said tonight will be something that we can be beneficial for ourselves and our walk. Father, teach us that way. That's what we want, your way. In Jesus' name, we ask you these things. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. So, we were saying this morning, now, I rejoice, but I'm not rejoicing if to make somebody shame, or like Paul said, or make somebody sorry that they did. That's not the purpose while we are here. Amen. To shame anybody and to make people feel bad. So, like Paul said, godly sorrow, if he bring repentance, then he did what he's supposed to do. Amen. I'm not going to apologize for what he was said. Because, if I do, then it was me. And it wasn't me. I was working all week in the messages that I was going to bring. And after Wednesday, 3 days working on it, I thought, God, I don't like the way this is going. I said, God, can you give me another topic? I mean, I will wait for faithfully. Can you give me something else? He said, I just don't like the way this is developing. So I kept working, every day a couple of hours. By Thursday and Friday, again, I just didn't like the way we're going. I said, I don't think I can bring myself to do this. And that's not me. I'm not caught out to confrontations and nothing like that. I'm kind of always, want to be liked and don't want to be upsetting anybody, So I said, I cannot do this. Can you please, Saturday came and my wife went to be with her family to make tamales. So I told her, I'm not going any time. And she said, why, you're not done? You've been working all week. I said, I know, but I'm not done. What you mean? I said, yeah, I'm not done. So I waited Saturday and I worked some more. I took a break and things are not happening and I'm waiting on God, I need another subject, So by 8 o'clock at night, I said, I just gave up. I said, I got to finish and wrap this up because I didn't get an answer. So I finished it by midnight. I'm done. Wrapped it up, brought it this morning. So my intention was not to bring something that offend people or make people feel uncomfortable. But God would not give me something else. So what am I supposed to do? So I'm not rejoicing, in that matter that people get upset, but I'm rejoicing that it is what you needed. Yes. It's what we needed. Yes. It may rub you the wrong way, but it's not my fault. I try to skip this thing. I ask him 3 times, please, please. He says, no. Okay. So there we go. So Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed. We already spoke this morning briefly, well, not briefly, but about verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies in a living sacrifice. And that's what we talked this morning. A living sacrifice is His Word. The Word of God is alive and well. And if you are born again, excuse me, that Word that is alive in you, it has to somehow, you know, be known, be manifest. Because that's the only life there is. When I was dead, everything that I manifested, that I thought it was alive, it was death. But now that I'm alive, I'm born again, everything that I do, you have to represent God, and God is alive and well. So, and the Word is alive. So when we walk, we should be walking like, you know, as a living sacrifice. Now, a sacrifice, somebody has to die. But they owe me die. But the part that is living again is alive. And we're so unholy and acceptable to God. That's what God requires. So that is a reasonable service. That is the way God wants it. There's no other way. We got to present ourselves as living sacrifices when we come. Amen. Yeah. That means you have to, your heart completely surrender to God, your life, your soul, your bodies. And we're going to do this. One has to die so the other one will be a living sacrifice. If it's not a sacrifice, then it's not worth it. I know it's a sacrifice to come to church. I know it's a sacrifice to do the things we do. But if it wasn't a sacrifice, then we don't do them. So it has to be. I sacrifice. I raise family. I raise my children. So I know it's a sacrifice. Sometimes you come late to church because you got to get the kids ready. And sometimes they lost their shoes and whatever they lost. And everybody's looking for a shoe, you know. And you make your late. I don't understand that, you know. I'm human, just like you are, human beings, you know. I didn't drop out of a banana tree. Yeah, you know. Or of a coconut tree or something like that. I have gone through the same thing you have gone. But I made it. And went to school, raised a family, had a ministry, you know, did all these things, and I never missed a day of church. I couldn't. I was the pastor on one occasion. But nevertheless, you know, I know what it is to struggle. I know what it is to have problems. I know. So I'm not talking to you as some kind of a, you know, deep theory out there that nobody has been able to prove. God has proved this in my life. It can be done. But it takes a great effort to do it. I mean, it takes to set yourself aside completely and focus completely in what the objective is here. To be a living sacrifice unto the Lord. So tonight we're going to talk about, and not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that is all what it takes. Your mind has to go out. And the new mind has to come in. And that's what the whole struggle is about it. The whole struggle this morning is about mind. Right. Yours or his. Sure. That's what we talked this morning. That's what the battle is. Right. Make a choice. It is his mind or it's my mind. Right. You can go ahead and justify whatever you want to do. What you need to find out, is that's God or that's me. So, that's where we are today. That's what the battle. A battle means a battle. I mean, Brother Blunkett, I mean, we're just going to have to. Actually, that the Bible said this morning that we read, we got to be persistent. You're going to fight your way through this. Listen, this is not a picnic. I mean, you're going to have. Listen, when I was growing up, when I went to the army, you know, I had to fight for what was mine rightfully. But I had to fight for it. It should have been given to me, you know, when I was going on and promotions and all this stuff. But it was a lot of prejudice. It was a lot of discrimination. It was a lot of stuff. But I had to fight for what was rightfully mine. Now, you in the army of God, you have rights and you have promises and you have all this and you are, and they're rightfully yours. What do you have to fight for? That's not that easy. You have to go and claim what is yours. And that takes somebody that is going to go out there, You know, like John says, the violent will take the kingdom by force. That don't mean to me, that don't look to me passive. Come to church and say, God will finish the work. That means you better get what is yours. And you better get it by force. You force Satan to give it to you. And what you got, you have to stand on it. In fact, it takes more effort to keep it than to go and get it. See? Because once you have it, you cannot sit and relax. Now you got to protect it. Now you have to protect yourself from Satan to come. He's skillful. He comes around with something else. See, another scheme, another strategy. Oh, he's happy right now. But let me give him some room. I'll be back. Like he told Jesus. When, but he came back. And you think that things are over. This is not over until it's over. You're going to fight your way through. And you better claim every promise. And you better take it by force. So, that takes a mindset. Yes. See? That takes a kind of a mindset. I went to war. It takes a kind of a mindset. Mm-hmm. See? Because either you get killed or you kill. Right. That's all it is. Either Satan gets you or you get him first. And that takes a mindset. See? Oh, but I got the Holy Ghost 40 years ago. Great. Where are you today? Right. That was the end of the thing. That's just the way it means to come this far. That wasn't the end of the story. In fact, you got the Holy Ghost. Your problem just got started. That was the beginning of the fight. So you cannot relax. This is what I'm saying. You cannot just relax and take it easy. You know, that's what the age that we live in, relax. No, this is a battle all to the end. You know, when I die, I'm done. In the meantime, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to have struggles, I'm going to have situations, I'm going to have difficulties. I mean, they're going to come all from every side. Right. And I'm going to have to go and deal with these things. Now, it's not me. It's the power of God in me. But what I'm saying is, I don't know about this, you know, religion that is, I'm okay, you're okay, you're okay. I'm afraid if somebody tells me, you know, hey, what have you been doing? I'm okay. You know, the devil hasn't given you any problem this week. No, I'm happy. And he's somewhere. Well, I worry. Because I have to fight with that guy every day. Every time I get up, I got to do battle. That's why you have to put the armor of God. So the renewing of your mind, that takes a mindset. See? That you may prove what is good. You will not be able to prove what is good until you actually go and, you know, check it out. Right. Hey, okay, you know, we're going to go to the promised land and it's flowing with honey and milk. Okay, that's my testimony because I've been there, Brother John. And John said, well, I know it is because my pastor told me. You know, you better go and check it out. Sure. This is not about my testimony, second-hand testimony. You have to experience God the same way as your children have to experience God, the same way you experience God. Nobody's going by the coattail of somebody else. My grandmother made it. I made it. No. You're going to have to claim what is rightfully yours every day. Your healing is one thing that you have to claim every day. We are going to get sick. There's no point to argue that one. But we don't have to get sick. So you're going to have to fight for your health. You're going to have to fight for your family. You have to fight for everything. You even have to fight like I do for the next breath that I want to take that I can't take. But you know what? I get into the fight, you know? And with whatever breath I got left, I will fight. Amen. I will fight because I know who's fighting for me, see? God cannot make a move. Angels cannot make a move until you make a move. They're ready, but you got to make a move. You got to make it. And that's what your mind, the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and what is acceptable to God. Yeah. And what is perfect will of God. Amen. So, we talked about this enough. So, I want to show you that there must be an example. There got to be an example. This is not something that somebody made up, God made up. But these are things that people have lived. Life have gone through this before us. It went before us. So, let's look at Jesus, because he's our example. He is a model. The Bible, you know, is full of these things, you know, Hebrew 11. But if we want to, for now, have to be a person that is righteous, then let's see what Jesus did. Because he was the righteous one. So when we go, when we look at John 5:19, the Bible says, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I said unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself." You cannot come to church on your own self. You cannot live the life, this life in your own self. God has to help you. So if anybody deserves any glory, it's him. I got up this morning and I came to church because the Spirit of God brought me to, it drove me to church. If it wasn't for God driving me, I wouldn't have done anything. So the first thing we see is, even Jesus says, I can't do nothing. Why? He said, but what I see the Father do, for what I think soever he does, this also does the Son likewise. So what he's saying, first thing is that I cannot do this. I don't know how to do this. So if I'm going to do something, he has to show me.
Right.
He has to, I need to see it, because without him, I can do nothing. And if I try to do something without him, it's not going to end up right. Because I cannot do it. So first thing he says, we need to be able to see what the Father is doing. That's the first key. The second thing he says in verse number 30, he says, I can of my own self do nothing. Here we go again. I can do nothing if I don't see what I'm supposed to do. And I can do nothing until I can hear. So if you advance yourself, presuming you're advancing yourself with no authority, you haven't heard and you haven't seen, or you heard but you haven't seen. So you have to have these two. In fact, it's one more. He says, I judge in my judgment just because I seek not my own. You have to die to your thought. You have to die to your idea. You have to die to everything if you want to live
right
and do right. Your mind brought you that far and didn't do good to me. It messed me up. I don't want my thoughts any longer, and I don't want yours. But I need his. If I'm going to make it, I got to die every day to my thoughts and take his. But the only way I can take his thought first, I got to see the Father doing it. I got to hear what the Father is doing. He says, because I seek not my own will again. I mean, this is Jesus. He says, I don't even know what to do. I don't know until he tells me. I hear him. And he says, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Third, 28. I kind of took him out of sequence because it's easier for me to explain. For me, it's easier to first to hear and to see than to do, than to see, you know. So that's me. It's not that I made a mistake. 28, then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know what I am, that I am in he, and that I do nothing of myself. Again. But as my Father has, now what he said, taught me, I speak. So if you don't know something, and you get to speaking, you know what you're going to do? You're going to get in trouble. Because you got to be taught. And who's going to teach you? This is the program of God. So you can try it on your own. Hey, you might succeed. I'm not saying that you can't. All I'm saying is that you got to be taught. In order to understand, you know, what you're seeing and what you're hearing. So this is what the samples that we see. This is our sample. And he heard the Father, he saw, and then he spoke. As he was thought, you know. These things. So let's say the first one. Because the bride will do the same three things. We cannot get away from it. If we claim that we are nothing and he is all, then we have to go to the same way. He's our sample. So that's what Jesus did, and that's what we have to do. First of all, to hear. So, before you can think, you have to hear something. And the Bible says that the faith comes by what? By hearing what? The word. Because you have to hear the word before you can even act. If you act without hearing something, I tell you what, you will not do well. You have to be able to hear. Now, not everybody can hear. Everybody got ears, but not everybody can hear. Because some, you know, the Bible said, my sheep will hear my voice, and they will what? They will respond. They will follow me. You can hear the same word that your next neighbor God is hearing, and you might not be hearing the same thing. So we all can hear. We have the ability to hear, but that's not what the Bible is saying. See? Like in Revelation, it says, he that have an ear. Well, we all got ears. That's not what it's saying. It says, let him hear what the Spirit, see? First, we need to hear from the Spirit of God. Before you endeavor to take anything, projects, ideas, whatever you plan, before you even start, I think we need to get on our knees and see if we can hear from heaven first. But it sounds good. I don't care how good it sounds. If you don't have, you know, from heaven, a word, don't move. You know, I'm not going to say that I'm well seasoned, but at 70, I'm well seasoned. I had to learn. Sorry, when I left the army, and I was out in the world running around. But anyway, the Lord got hold to my heart. You know, I was at the end with it. I was just done. If God would not come and do something and rescue me, I was done. So he did. So from there, you know, I went to the Baptist church. And that's God brought me to the Baptist church. And I was fine, and I was happy, and I was working. You know, things are going well. But I don't know anything else. I don't know this message. I think this is it. So I'm working. I've been loyal, you know, because I was grateful what God has done for me. And I love God in such a way that I want to do whatever I can do in my flesh. Not because I need to repay. I will never repay him, but because I'm grateful. So I went to church faithfully. I was sitting in the pew. I started, you know, there. 7 years later, I ended here in the Baptist church. I don't know why. I cannot do that. God is the one that opens. I didn't go to the Baptist church to be a preacher or to help or to be anything. I just went because, you know, that's what God was bringing me to. But I worked hard. I was faithful. And people noticed those things. But that wasn't me. I was so in love with God. I'm still so in love with God that I don't want to miss anything. You know what? I don't come to church and you start having fun. I said, well, I don't want to even miss that, you know. But I think I'm going to miss something, so I want to go to church or sometime I can. But anyway, that's rarely, you know, once or twice a year. But, you know, I end up, you know, being the minister of music, the director, the everything. And then I used to preach when the brother used to leave the church. I mean, he trusted me. He confided me. You know why? Not because, you know, it was something different in me. It's because whatever I was given, whatever I got, I was faithful enough to just stand on it, put all my heart into it, and do everything that I can. That's all. I didn't have to work hard to get a position. I would just work because I love the Lord. So I figured, well, there's nothing else here. Then I started coming to Tucson. God just drove me to Tucson, and I was still serving in the Baptist church here, Sunnyside Baptist Church down on Valencia, somewhere park. And I worked there for a few more years. I came in 1986. I served with the Baptist in El Paso for almost 7 years to 1996. Then a few years later, I'm here, you know, and I'm working hard. And a group called me to be their pastor for a little while, and I was pastoring a church here. And suddenly, I don't know God's plans, but I was working with Honeywell. And then Mike Baker started working with Honeywell. He was in Phoenix. He got transferred. Why? I think he wanted to be transferred. Or the thing is, God is working, moving peace. Sure. I mean, why he can do anybody in Tucson? It was a lot of people in Tucson. This is the make of this message. I haven't heard anything about this message. Sure. Right. Because God has something. Yeah. Bring Mike to there. We joined a group of interdenominational guys that they were reading the Bible, having lunch. During lunch, they read the Bible, they pray, and we discussed a few things. Michael was there, Mike Baker was there. So I was impressed with his demeanor, you know. I was impressed with his spirit, so soft, so kind. I was impressed with the way he spoke. And I knew he has something that I need or I don't have. So what is it? I figure, you know. So we kept going. And one day he says, one day the group decides to always have Bible studies during the week. And on Friday we have breakfast. And somebody speaks. They choose someone to speak. Mike Baker was supposed to speak that morning for the group. I got sick, so I didn't go to work. So I missed it. See, the devil knows, you know. Sure. He knows, let me tell you. Yeah. He didn't want me to hear. So Monday I went to work, and I seen him. I said, Mike, what happened? Did you bring the word? Yeah, I did. Oh, man, I'm sorry, I missed it. I was sick or something happens. So he said, but don't worry, because I wrote it all down. I'm going to give you all the paper. He's just like, this guy, they're so smart, these two Baker's boys, man. They amaze me. So, they are intelligent. When Brother Baker said he is intelligent, he is smart. They are. And then he wrote everything, I mean, about 10 papers about the Godhead and water baptism. So, I took it home. I said, oh, yeah, take it home. I started reading, and I got my Bible, started reading like a good Baptist, got my Bible. And the more I read, the more mad I got. Why nobody has told me these things? This is the truth. Why so? Kept reading, and the more I read, the worse I got. I said, I cannot believe this. This truth, and nobody has told me about the truth. What's going on here? So finally, I went back to work, and I told Mike, this is only about the truth. And he started jumping. I don't know why he was jumping anyway. I found out later why he was praising the Lord, kind of seriously, but he didn't want to make it too obvious. So I said, take me to your chief, please, the guy that preached this stuff. Oh, I can't because he passed away. What? But you take me to your church and somebody that can explain this thing to me because this is the truth. I wanted to know who is the one preaching this. I said, well, okay. So he brought me a few tapes, the absolute, you know, perseverance, a few tapes. And, oh, man, I took those tapes and I ate them up. And I asked him, give me some more tape. I said, well, you know, those people, they're kind of funny. They don't want to give me more than I should have. So I said, that's all right. So that was almost December because I came to know him in August. A year later is when we got together in the Bible study, and I was almost a year. So in 1986, 87, well, actually it was in 1989. So I must have spent 2 years working in the Baptist church. The third year, then he came along, and the fourth year is where things started happening. So so he said, well, let me invite you to my church service. We have a meeting in December. I said, well, I cannot go on Wednesday and Sunday because I got my own church. So, but I will go sometime, you know. So I went. So when I went to the tabernacle, the Brother Green Tabernacle, they took me, and it was full. And they took me, and they set me in the first pew in the front. Because that's what the young men, you know, I was by myself. I Nadia was dragging my wife into anything until I find out, see, what is going on. So they sent me in the front, and I see all these people with long dresses and long faces and long hair, and they look scary to me, actually. But, you know, I mean, I'm from the Baptist church, you know. But I sat there because I wasn't there to see people and look at people. I wanted to, you know, I wanted to check it out at the people from Berea, you know, in the Bible. They went and searched and looked to see if this was the truth. So I was doing my, you know, searching. Sure. So I sat down, and I think in that year, it was a short man with white hair. I think it was Brother Carpenter, if I'm not mistaken, because I didn't know anybody then. I mean, he started preaching and preaching, nothing, no jumping, no hollering, no, just regular preaching. And he finished, and he says, how many want the Holy Ghost? Well, I didn't hesitate it. I didn't think about it. I figured if there's a Holy Ghost, I want it. Because I read the scriptures as a Baptist. I know there's a Holy Ghost. And the scriptures that I like the most is the one that said, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. See, I knew those things. And I always wondered, what did that mean? So I said, my hands went up. And then he prayed. So I left the church. Nothing happens. I didn't speak in tongues. I didn't run. What did I know about that? Nobody has molested me yet from this message yet. I was new. Nobody has touched me yet with their own ideas and stuff. So I just walked out of church. When I went outside, then it hit me, you know. I was talking to Mike Bacon. I said, you know, something is wrong. He said, what? I don't know. You know, I used to drink when I was younger. I was in the army. And I know the feeling when somebody gets drunk. But I haven't touched drink. I swear, I haven't drank for years. And I feel like I'm drunk. That's the only way I can identify the, you know, what's going in me. Because that's what the Bible said. Not be drunk with wine. So I understood that. So I don't know what he said. Anyway, like I told you before, it took me 2 hours to find my home like a drunk guy. Driving around this, many times I went to church. I know where my home is. I got lost 2 hours. I couldn't find my house. Finally, found my house and I couldn't get the key. You know, like, where's my key? Finally, I got home and I rested from that. Next day, I talked to Mike and I said, you know, I want to get baptized. Because I already read his thing. Right. I wasn't going to wait to talk to my pastor. I knew who was leading. I knew who led me to the Baptist church. Right. See? I'm just studying. I knew. I didn't hear a voice. But I know that what I hear when people are preaching, when Brother Campbell was preaching that night, I heard a voice. Right. Yeah. Do you want the Holy Ghost? And maybe the guy that was next to me heard the same thing, but he didn't hear what I heard. I wanted the Holy Ghost. So I didn't confer with no one. I said, Mike, I want to get baptized. He says, well, let me see. And I said, well, I got a church and I got a nice Baptist study. I do it at my church. We do it on Saturday when nobody's there. Okay, let me see. Let me check with somebody. He didn't want to do it because he didn't feel like he was, you know, worthy to do these things. But he went and got Brother Pacelli. And Brother Porcelli and Mike had done the same thing with Brother Baker a few months earlier. I didn't know that. I didn't even know that he had a brother anyway. So he bring Brother Porcelli Saturday to meet me and find my home. And Brother Porcelli was kind of skeptical because Brother Mike had done this before and hasn't gone through. So finally, Brother Porcelli said, let's go. So I took him to the church, filled up the Baptist study. I got baptized, talked to my wife, got baptized, Monica. Got baptized. Tina and Carlos was too small. So I left them alone. So I'm still going to the Baptist church. I'm not saying nothing to anybody. My question was how I'm going to break this to these people. So I just kept quiet for about 3 months. I kept studying him, listening to tapes. But I tried to wait for God to show me how I'm going to break this down to them. What I have found out, this is new. And it's powerful. This is what I've been looking for. And then one of the Sunday school teachers about 3 months says to me, somebody want to get baptized. I said, now I'm going to get in trouble. Because I cannot do it no differently. I already learned what the true baptism was. Right. See, I have a new idea. I have a new thought. I cannot go against it anymore. I'm already, you know, defined. So I said, okay. So I prayed. And I said, I'm going to bring a teaching. You know, Mike gave me that nice teaching. I'm going to bring a teaching of water baptism and all this stuff. Sure, they can see it. Sure. So I finished preaching that day. After I preached, I took to the Baptist study. I did the baptism in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When I came out of that water, everybody was like, nobody wanted to look at me. So I said, okay. So I wrapped it up and went home, and I get a call from the deacon. We have a meeting tomorrow. We want to see you. I said, okay, I'll be there. I'll be there at what time? My wife said, you want me to go with you? I said, no, I know what they're going to do, so I don't need. You don't need to go through that. I'm big enough to handle these things. So I went, and they said, we want your resignation. I said, why? Because what you did. I said, what do I do? Show me in the Bible that I was wrong. I already read Brother Brown and what he did. I said, come with your Bible. You stand here. You show me that I was wrong, and I will apologize. Well, I'm waiting. I said, well, I guess there's no challenge here. So I either write and you run, or there's no other way, or you're afraid. So finally, I said, okay, you want your resignation? There's no way I will stay now in here. Now I know what they're feeling about. So I said, you can have my resignation. You can have the church and you can have everything. So I left everything behind just because I heard a voice. But see, God was already, I can't recognize the voice in any shape it comes. I didn't hear an audible voice, but something spoke to my heart. And said, that's right. Let the church, the first place I went, because I was looking for, you know, my own language, Hispanic, and I went to Brother Noriega for a little bit. And my wife and children sat with me. And I didn't know, but Brother Noriega was trying something new. See, God always has things in control. He was going to preach in Spanish and had the guys translate in English. He said he wanted to try, you know, his natural tongue, you know. I said, good to me. But his heart is not, you know, Mexican completely. He speaks well English. And he grew up here. He, you know, just like my wife. My wife was born here, went to school here. Even though she speaks Spanish, her heart is not Hispanic. It's English. It's USA. It's not say M-A-X. It's a USA. Now, mine don't say USA. Mine say PR. So, because I was born and I was shaped. I was already into college when I left. I was already shaped and formed. So anyway, so he wanted to try that. And my wife said, well, I don't know. If this is the right time. No, it's not. Somebody. Well, on top says 854 and the bottom says 7. What is it? 707. Yeah, that's the time. But I don't understand this thing. It got me confused. You want to confuse me, and that's not hard to do. Anyway, so my wife says, he's preaching in Spanish, and I know what he's saying, but these guys that are translating, they're not saying exactly what he's saying. So I'm going to get a little confused. I'm not thinking I'm getting everything, and if I'm getting it, it's not something new that he was trying for some reason. So about a month into that one, I said, well, let's go and try someplace else. I don't mind to forfeit my language, you know. This is not about language. This is not about who I am. This is all about God. You know, of course I like my language. Of course I like to worship in Spanish. But this is not about that. This is about God in whatever shape it comes. So we went to Brother Green, and we liked that, and we stayed there for 14 years, 15 years. After that, they didn't even talk no more to me. They used to live next to me. I had a deacon down the street, and I had another guy in the corner of my house, and they never spoke to me about anything. They knew I went to church every Sunday. But when they saw me that I went to their church, they all started talking to me. They all started helping me. But when I went to Brother Green, they stopped doing it. But see, I didn't know anything yet what's going on in between these things here. So I found out later on what was going on. But anyway, had nothing to do with this, but I heard something, heard a voice. So I walk out of the Baptist church. Well, I started this message. Went to Brother Green and I said the same thing. I stay here until I didn't come to church so I can see if I like it so I can move out. When I went to church, I wanted to stay in church. Now, Brother Brown says, you find a church like you find a wife. And that's what I was saying this morning. The way people come to church is that's the way you found a wife. You know, I don't understand. Can you imagine you have a wife and for whatever period of time and you said, you know, as soon as I find a better one, I'll leave this one. Oh, that's what we do with church. I'm going to be here until what? If that's what you do with your wife, because you're supposed to choose a church like you choose a wife. I mean, what kind of a mentality will say, I will stay here until I find something better? That you do that with your wife? No. You put up with your wife. And she put up with you for the many years, regardless of what the situations are. Because that don't get you nowhere. First, you're not there, so you cannot perform. And second, you're not here because you're worried about being someplace else, so you're not anywhere doing anything. You are not help to anybody. Why? Because you're not stable. Because you cannot be dwelling in two thoughts. So that's what I said. You have to focus in and put all your heart here. God will take care of the rest. God knows your thought. God knows what you want to do. You don't think God knows? Amen. You do what you're supposed to do. God take care of the rest. You know, seek God and his righteousness. Seek what he wants you to do here, now. And he will add anything else that, you know, He wants you to have. But we do it backwards. So, you know, that's the voice. I heard a voice. So, something I thought, well, I stay here in Brother Green until that I was already shaped and formed. That's how I work. I'm loyal. So, something happened. God started moving. And thing happened. And I didn't like it. So I went to Brother Green and said, I don't agree with what it was done, what you did. But nevertheless, you know, unless this separates my family, if it separates my family, you won't do it because I will not work with a separate family, one here, one here, one there, one there. But if this causes that, I'm going. He didn't say too much to me. I went to his office. So anyway, I didn't agree with the way he did things. So nevertheless, I didn't leave the church. Why? Because you don't agree with your wife, you don't leave her neither. So you don't leave church because that's my church. God brought me there, and I tell everybody, God will take me out of here when he gets ready. Why do I worry about what's going on? I'm already, no, this is my place, my position. If God don't want me here, God will take me. And I already heard his voice many times. I was already shaped, sensitive to his voice. So something happens, and then Kenny and John, the situation, and they stopped. You know, playing the music, and something went on that way, and I didn't like the way it was going. And Brother Green said, well, I'm going to do something. I'm going to get to the bottom. Let me research, and blah, blah, blah. I said, well, okay. 5 months later, I didn't run. I want him to do his thing. He told me he was going to. I don't have no reason to disbelieve him, and I don't have no reason to run because I will not run. I didn't bring myself there, and I'm not taking myself out of there. Because I know the choices that, and the repercussion, the bad choices we have. So I kept serving there. We could see, we go a month, 5 months later, he makes his decision. God gave me a dream. I understood the dream. And I said, I'm leaving. I told my kids, I'm going to Love Divine. If you want to, you're welcome. You guys do whatever you want to do. But this is where I'm going. I already have a confirmation that I could leave. So I came here, and this is what I am. So all I'm trying to say, you said, is that you need to hear the voice of God. Somehow you need to experience God in your own way. I don't know which way God will speak to you. That is something that you need to find out. Because you cannot depend on me to tell you what to do. You need to know what he wants you to do. I got to depend on what Jesus said. I'll do nothing until I hear from him. You should not move a muscle until you hear from him. And I did that. And I've been faithful doing that. You know, and I stayed here until I told Brother Doug, you're going to bury me. I'm not leaving. I better say never, never. I don't know. But as far as I know, this is where God put me. This is where my heart is. This is where my body. This is where my soul. This is what I will until. I do not have no excuse. I don't have no plan in case things go wrong that I'm going to leave.
Right.
No. I don't entertain those ideas. Can you imagine if thing goes, every time thing goes wrong in your house, you're going to leave? So you need to hear before you can make your mind. See? You just don't come out of the, you know, the spell. I mean, I don't know how to say it, but out of the sting of the moment, how you say that? The spell of the moment, I said, I'm leaving. Without giving him the thought. With a hearing. I mean, you might have a good reason why. But good reason don't make good Christian, let me tell you. That I made that one up so you can take it to the bank. You can coin that one. Good. That's what I said. God had to give me inspiration because I don't even know what to say. So we need to hear. Now, Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So you have to be in a place that the word of God is preached so you can hear his voice. I don't know how you're going to hear his voice, but I know I heard his voice. So now, Brother Branham says, earlier this morning, believe thou this, the church today ought to be pressing, persistent, everywhere to hear the word of God, to hear the word of God. That don't mean I cannot hear the word of God in my home. Can I just go to the internet? Can I listen to anybody? You could. And you're going to hear somebody preaching the word. But will you be able to hear something? Now, I'm talking here. It's my voice. It's my way. There's no other way. There's nobody else like me. I'm special. I don't talk like everybody. I don't look like everybody. And that's what makes me special, that I'm not everybody. But one thing is for sure, if you don't believe that God is speaking to your heart, then what are we doing sitting in church? And if God is speaking to your heart, then do it. Because it's not me speaking to you. Yeah, this is my voice. But faith comes by hearing. And this is God's program, the Word of God. Stand and stand with the Word. So what is good to hear the Word and not stay with the Word? Matthew 11:12. And from that day, it says, and John the Baptist until now the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violence is taken by force. So listen, man, you're going to have to fight for that. For every word that you get on, that you hear, you're going to have to fight for it. Because Satan is ready to take it away. Remember that parable of the seed? One fell on the stone, one fell on the grass, and some burned, and some the bird came. See, that Satan is ready to come. But some of that seed is going to fall in the right ground. And it will yield that kind of a life. Amen. 2 Timothy 3:1. This know also that in the last day, perilous time, I mean dangerous time. So this is a time that we should be coming to church and pressing to hear the word of God and what God wants so we can get ready for the rapture is today. I know some people are not here, they were here this morning. Don't have to look around, you don't have to know. But the thing is, that's what I was just talking this morning. You know, we need to press in. There's no choice to the matter. You want to hear the word of God? Then you have to follow the plan of God. This is the plan of God. 53, Elijah. And if there ever was a time that the world ought to be preparing for the second coming of Christ, it's when? So how do you prepare for the coming? Well, you got Ephesians 4. That's where the ministry is there, to take you to that maturity, to prepare you, to dress you. By preaching the word. You hear the word, and you need to hear the word, what the Spirit says, you know, you will do. So when you hear the word, then there's something else. Hearing the word by itself, it don't work. Because some people will rejoice, but after a while, you know, they count the cost and they just, Or sometimes the birds come, like they fly and they take the seed and never take root. So hearing the word, the seed will fall in the right place. But that's not the only thing that had to happen. Now, let us be glad, Revelation 19:7-8, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. So it is you that need to make yourself ready. It is you that need to be still long enough to get dressed. Right. See? And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. What is the fine linen? The righteousness of the saints. So every time you do the right things, every time you hear the right thing, you do the right thing, and it comes to the right thing, you're putting another little thing on your dress. See, because that's the righteousness. The righteousness is to do what's right according to God's word. So every time you learn and you choose the right thing, you come up a little higher and a little higher and a little higher. And the more you do what he wants you to do, the more you grow. And the more you hear, the more you do, the more you grow. That is God's plan. Listen, it'd be nice if we would have created a robot. You're done. That would be the easiest thing, right? No. We had to start from being a baby, you know, like in the natural, and grow. His system is the same way. He knows you already made it, but you're going to have to go through the process. See? Because he needs to prove to you, not to him, to you, that you are who you are. And the only way to do it is to put you through the process. See? Hebrews 11:39-40. And this all having obtained the good report, see, they had a good report, the Holy Spirit gave a report to the Father of his Son. Through what? Through faith. Receiving not the promise, see, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So, again, in the Old Testament, we know they only had a covering. See, they didn't have the Holy Ghost. But they had an unction that take him and do things. But once the unction leave, you know, like Elijah, they run like a scare, like into a hole because somebody is chasing them. If it wasn't for the Holy Ghost at the preaching this morning, you know, I'd do like Brother Doug. Start my car, Henry. We need to run out of here. But we don't have to do that because we have a Holy Ghost in us. And we're not doing things on our own. So that they without us should not be made perfect. So we want through faith that received the promise, see? But the Holy Ghost is our mentor, you know, and he takes us from glory to glory to glory. That's God's process. I cannot change it until we get to the maturity, to the perfection, the head that is our Lord Jesus Christ. And then one of these days, we take the last step and we walk out of here. But in the meantime, that is the process. You heard about the adoption, you know, Brother Paul talks about it. But Jesus was adopted in Mount Transfiguration. You know, this is my son. In what I have won, he says, and I'm happy to abide in him. I forgot the word. It's not a happy, but, you know. But anyway, that is where you and I had to come to. You come to the point every day doing what's right, and God will be pleased. And then you get to the point where God will say the same thing. Hey, enter into the kingdom. You done. See? So, it is a process. Now, John 10:16 says, and another sheep I have, which are not in this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. What is he talking about? Well, when he came for the Jewish bride, that was the fold. But he rejected that bride in order for you and me to come into that fold, and we have one shepherd. So that's all he's saying. That's the mystery that Paul says, the fellowship of the mystery. The mystery is that you and I were included in that. Before that, Gentiles were dogs anyway. They didn't have no way in there. That was the worst. I mean, worse than a dog, but see, the Jewish people didn't know what God had in his mind. So they became part of the sheepfold. And we have one shepherd. Ephesians 3:18, unto me, who I am less than the least of saints, it is the grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. See? So Paul was chosen to preach to the Gentile and to make all men to see the fellowship of the mystery. And that was the mystery. See? That he was going to have a bride from the Gentile. Nobody could figure that out until the last days. See? Which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God. You and I. Hid in God. See? So that's what I'm saying. It's a process. And God has a plan. And we need to just obey and move on. Because God that started the work, he will finish that work. We just need to be faithful. Wherever you are, do what you know what to do. And God will take out the rest. Amen. Now, second part is to see. And to see, we know what it means. Is to understand by revelation. Because Jesus told Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you will not what? See. And Brother Brown said, that means you will not understand. What is good if you to hear the word of God and you don't understand what it means? So Jesus said, whatever I hear from the Father, I do. But you not only need to hear, you need to have a revelation of what you heard. So you have to still depend on God to make sure that he spoke to you. Because if he speaks to you, then he will also reveal to you what the meaning of that. I cannot tell you what the meaning of anything is. I don't know what your heart needs. I don't know what you are getting from this preaching. And the only one that can tell you that is him. By revelation, you know, you take the word by faith. And by revelation, God will tell you. See, people want to do it backwards. But if you show me, I can't believe. That's not the way to go. You believe what you can hear now. Then I will show you. But that's what many people are there. They're skeptical. They show me. That's what Aaron tells me all the time. Show me. Papa, show me. You know, then, you know, I can understand it. And I can, you know how things work. But see, in the kingdom of God, you need to believe. Then he can show you. So, hearing something don't mean that you already got it. Don't run with it. Right. Because you need to have the understanding what to do with that word. That's what wisdom comes into it. We got a lot of data, a lot of information. But if you don't know what to do with it, what good it is to you? That's what I tell the young people. You know, they're smart. And they learn a lot, but they have no experience yet. But they accumulate a lot of education and a lot of information. And they Google everything. I mean, they have more information available to them than what I had. But that don't make them, you know, any smarter, because they don't know what to do with all that information. I know what to do with that information. I already lived it. But what do they need is what? Wisdom. But you know that wisdom don't come unless you can experience what you have in your head. It has to be practiced. It has to be experienced. Then you can say, now I understand what that means. Now you got wisdom, see? But I always said, you know, young people are very smart, but they don't have no wisdom yet. Because they haven't gotten their life to experience what I have experienced for 750 some years. See? Now, if I do it again, I will do it knowingly because I'm claiming that I understand. So, and that's what I said to you guys. I know what the voice of God is. I already have enough wisdom to understand His word. I'm not running through and fro. People will come and say they will be running everywhere. You know, I'm going to stand firm in the word of God until He will tell me otherwise. One of the things I used to do, and I kind of left that practice a long time ago because I already mature. My daughter Monica would ask me, can I do this, Dad? Can I go someplace? And I said, well, let me pray about it. But what happened is that was my excuse to, you know, my answer. But then a week later she comes to me, did you pray about it? I said, oh, about what? Oh, you know, no, I didn't pray about it. Well, I guess, you know, 3 days have gone by and he hasn't said anything, so it must be okay. Well, I used to do that at one point. But the thing is, the thing wrong with that is that just because God didn't answer you, that don't mean that it's yes. So don't do that. You have to make sure that he speaks to you. Brother Van said he will speak to you. Maybe yes or no, but he will speak to you. Because he keeps silent, that don't mean that you can do what you want to do. That's what I was doing this week. You know, I kind of regressed back. And he didn't speak to me. You know what? I would not move. I already learned my lesson. I will not move. I need to hear from God. And if I don't, then it's no. Or it's yes. Do what you're supposed to do and move on. So, it says over here, you need to understand by revelation. Now, in Jefferson, I let the Spanish thing in there. I did? That's right. God will not change his mind respect to his word. I think that's what it means. Change, cambia, change. Anyway, Jeffersonville, he says, but Abel had the right sacrifice. How did he have the right sacrifice? It was no Bible. It was no preacher. It was the first time. So how did he knew? He didn't hear anybody. Did he? Well, he did. How did he knew? See, he says he know that it was the blood that did it. So he brought a lamb. And when God received his, now able by faith, by revelation, no other way. There was no Bible written. So you see, the beginning of righteousness, the beginning of you to do the right things is by revelation. It's not by what you think you can figure out. It's not by anybody tells you, but God will speak to you by revelation. You will hear something and God will reveal it to you. Says by revelation, says beginning of righteousness. So the beginning of walking with God and pleasing God is to hear the right thing and do the right thing by revelation. If those two things are not met, when you have a thought, leave it alone until. He says, God revealed truth, and the entire church of the living God is built upon what? So, are we going to do different now? After a while, after 40, 60 some years, now we are going to change it? God hasn't changed. You need to hear the word by faith, and he need to tell you what that word meant because he wrote it. He is the one that knows what the intention and the motivation was on that word. So are we going to take something less than? I don't think so. Too late for that. says Revelation 3:15, I know thy word, that thou art neither cold nor hot. You know this verses, because you are lukewarm. 16:17, because you said I am rich, and 18, you heard this many times. So this is the people that they took their own thoughts. I don't have no need of that. I'm rich. Just because you're getting rich and your church is growing, that don't mean that God is with you. But they thought, they took that as a sign. See? So we got to be careful. Because just because you are blessed, that don't mean. Listen, my friend, when it rains from the just and the who? And the unjust. Now the unjust gets blessed. Oh, God is with me. But no, that's not what he meant. That meant that God had no respect of person. So when it rains, he don't say, well, it's going to rain only to love divine. Yeah. And everybody else is dry. No. When it rains, everybody get wet. Even the sinner gets wet. And if he gets blessed, he says, thank you, Lord. Even though he's a sinner or a churchgoer, God will please in that. Because God don't respect a person. But what I'm trying to say is that sometimes, because we are blessed, that don't mean that God is with us. But you know when God is with you. Because God will bless you, but not only will bless you, but you know that you know that you know that it was God. You had no doubt that it was God's blessings. That's what I said, give God thanks for the little things that happen in you. Don't take anything for granted. Okay? Now, the guy out in the street, he don't care. He woke up in the morning and he think he went to work and made money and he did it all himself. And you know, but if it wasn't for the grace of God, he wouldn't have anything. No, friend, then Brother Brown said three witnesses. Okay, no, friends, people get, they just get ecclesiastic pieces of some theological seminary that teaches them so, and they think it was that to be that way. That's what the foolish virgin. She thinks she's right because she's blessed, she's rich, and God is blessing her. And that's so God is with us. Well, God is with them, surely, but God is not in them. See? So it says, teaches them so they think it has to be that way. That's what it's so hard to talk to a religious person. Because they say, well, what do you have that I don't have? Oh, miracles? We do have miracles. We do have supernatural. Moving of the Spirit. We have moving of the Spirit in church. So what are you trying to tell me? Well, they think that because God always respects his word, and as long as they read the word, even though they don't have an understanding, but they read the word and they believe it, that's good enough to God to bless them, because God will respond to his word only. So he says they think that that's the way. You know, never get to that corner that you think because you are blessed that God is with you. You are blessed because you are who you are. Because God is with you, you're blessed. But it's not the other way around. You're blessed because he's with you. It's just a play on words. But don't think ever because I'm rich and I got a good job and I got properties and and I'm blessed. God must be with me. That's what they think. Because I'm rich and I got everything. And I got all I need. So they say, I don't need that. See? It says, God under no obligation to not to all your seminary, just to his word. See, he don't have no obligation to your thought, my thought, only his word. That's right. They thought they had it figured out, the way Jesus was going to come, see, and what he ought to be as the master. But when he came, it was different than what they thought. So the point that you think you have it figured out, you're wrong. Everyone, reverend. Now, the last element is to speak. Now, you need to hear the word, and you need to be in a place that the word of God is preached. But not every place the word of God is preached. They can read the Bible, of course. And you can hear the Bible being, but only God's voice is the only one that it can penetrate. Because they are preachers, that don't mean that God is with them. There are some preachers that don't should be preaching anyway. But they're so eloquent, you know, like Joel Osteen and all these people. You call that a preacher? It's good preaching. He probably can preach me, you know, 300 times, but Is that helping anybody?
Yeah. See, look at our 3,000 people. It's true help. Yeah, of course. People are running through and fro looking for what? The word. You know, when Brother Van says, when you don't have the word, you eat out of a garbage can. You go to any church looking for something. The people are looking for something when they don't have what they need. Because they don't know what they need. So they take anything out there. So people are running to church. Church are full and they're rich. And the 3,000 people, and they're speaking the word. But there's any revelation on that? Is God revealing the meaning of that word? Is God is using that word? I said not. It sounds good. The part of the word sounds good. But that's it. Oh, mine, the time is here now to speak. I believe that we have come to the point that this is where we're supposed to be at. See? Is there? It says, I believe the time is here for us to speak. Why? Once you have a word, you heard the word, once you have a revelation, now you can speak. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to speak the word of God if you know that it is the word of God. If you know for sure that that is His will, you don't have to be afraid to speak the word of God. Jesus wasn't. He was sure, 100%, hey, that God speaking to me and talking to me. See? He didn't have no doubt. He didn't have no doubt. Now, do you think so? I believe the time that the church should move up or is going back. So, if you're not progressing, if you're not growing, you're backsliding. If you're not doing what you're supposed to do, and you're smart enough, you know what you're supposed to do. If you're not doing that, you're not moving forward. So, as simple as that, that's all it is. So I believe that the time that the church should move up or it's going back. So if today, if tomorrow you have less or you have done just the same you did yesterday, you're backsliding. Every day you should be one step closer. God will take you there. And you trust Him. One step closer. Step closer. If you haven't moved one step today, you're backsliding. Sorry. That's what Brother Brandon is saying. Because we always should be moving forward. I believe the time that the sign of Mark 16 ought to be following the believers. And that was one in 1953. Well, that was when my wife was born. Oh, I gave it up. She's going to kill. So, not your month and your day, but it's your year, though. So, anyway, that was in 1953. Now it's what, 2019, how many years are those? I don't know, over 60 years? I don't know, do the math. Where do you think we should be today? This was in 1950. Where are you supposed to, today you're supposed to be speaking your way out or anything you want to. By now, we should be walking in clouds. You know, by now we should be having fellowship with Him in heavenly places. So the Brother Brown says in the exposition of the seventh church age, he says, the church said, those in the bride do only His will. Now, anything else, don't count. No one can make them do what? Otherwise. So if you have something that is against the will of God, nothing will make you do that. If it's not the will of God, see, we should be so mature now. We should be so young, so close to the real thing that Satan cannot deceive anybody. They had that said the Lord, or they will keep still. So if you cannot say that said the Lord to your plans and to your ideas, then don't move on. When you're sure and that you're sure that it was God spoke to me, I understood what I need to do, now I can say it. I can voice it now and I can move forward. But until that happens, keep it to yourself, pray and trust God until you get a word on that. See, I didn't get a word this week. You think I went forward and got something new? No, I couldn't do that. I know better than that. Maybe I don't understand why, but I should not change. Maybe you don't understand why the situations are that way, but just wait on the Lord. You need to be still and wait on God. We have come so far, you know. We should not be going backwards. She said, they know that it has to be God doing the work. If God speaks to me and God tells me,
reveals to me what it is, then it's God doing the work. Otherwise, who is doing the work? I am forcing things. Every time you force something, it will not come out right. But I think it's the will of God, because you know what? How do you know? Did he spoke to you? Did he spoke to your heart? Did he reveal to you the understanding? Now you can walk. But in the meantime, sit still. Be still like the sign. And wait on what? On him. God will not disappoint you. You don't have to be upset or frustrated. God will not disappoint you. When he comes through for you, it will be the right thing that you needed. I mean, I cannot even explain. I have so many things that have gone through my life. It says, they know that God is, they know that it has to be God, them doing the work. So God speaks, God gives you the revelation, and God is doing the work. So, mine, what are you supposed to do here? In this formula, he speaks to you, he tells you the thought. Then he also gives you the revelation. Then you speak, and who brings it to pass? The one that gave you the thought, the one that gave you the desire, is the one that also gave. What are you doing here? Nothing. You're just waiting on the Lord. Because if you know that he gave you the thought and he gave you everything, then he will work it out for you too. It's amazing. What did you have to worry? What did you have to stress out? If what you're thinking is the right thing, that's way, because the one that gave you the thought always bring it to pass. The only thing you have to do is what? Believe. The only thing you have to do is what? Like brother, believe. You stand in that word. And when you can go any further, you stand. That God will make a way for you. As long as he's his word, he make a way for you. But so don't get frustrated because things are not happening as fast as you want to. Don't get frustrated if they're not happening at all. Maybe there's a reason why they are not happening. See? You know, even in the small things, yesterday, Sister Deidre and Brian left. They went to the airport Friday, I think it was. He read the ticket wrong. He's supposed to leave the day before. So he missed his airplane. So anyway, he went to there, and they think he had to pay $75 more. You know, it cost everything. And they gave him new arrangement, new seat, new airline. And when she got home, she said, this is the best flight ever. We went in American Airlines. And I had a three seat by myself. Brian had three seat by themselves. Not only that, they took a route that I had never been to. Instead of taking 10, 12, it took 3 hours and 5 hours. It took less time. I don't know what route they took. I said, see, sometimes you think that something is a curse when God is doing something for you that you don't know of. She said, I had never been in my life in such a flight that is... to her was the best ever. But see, you start complaining and you start, and if you start getting on Brian, you knucklehead, you know, hey, you what? But see, be still and trust God. Because you don't know what God is doing. Just because you don't understand, you don't know what God is doing. Sometimes that happens to me, most of the time. Sometimes sometimes I want certain things, do certain things, and they don't go my way, but I'm glad they don't go my way. Because if I wait long enough, I will get it the right way. He says, God doing the work, fulfilling his own word, okay? Fulfilling the word in you is righteousness, see? He did not complete his work while he was in earth ministry, so now he works on and through the bride. So bride, that means that the bride is a tool of his righteousness. See, God is in you. So it is him that gives you the desires. It is him that gives you the thought. It is him that gives you the want. It is him that makes things possible for you. So what is you have to do? Just be still and trust God. Don't get impatient with God because things are not going on the way you thought that you went on. Don't get all bent out of shape. Because if you wait on the Lord, that is probably the best that will happen to you, that if you force a situation. He says, she knows that, for it was not yet time for him to do certain things that he must now do. but he will not fulfill through the bride that work which he left for this specific time. Nevertheless, the Bible said in 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. Having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone that name the name of Christ depart from what? If you are his children, you don't want it. The iniquity is knowing what to do and don't do it. Now, when you know what to do, and you do something different than that, that's iniquity. But if you are a child of God, it says, everyone that name the name of Christ depart from what? From doing something, but not doing something that they should do. And I always said, coming to church is one thing that you're supposed to do. So for me, that's iniquity. Not for me, but the Bible, that's iniquity when you know what to do and you don't do it. Not only that, that's everything in your life. When it concerns to God and the leadership of God, if you do something, and you don't do something that you are supposed to do, if you're supposed to wait on the Lord for a confirmation, for a validation of a word, and you don't, you advance without authority, then that's iniquity. Because you are not waiting to do the right thing.
Right.
The church today ought to be pressing. See, I read you that one. Pressing. Persistent. You should be determined. Resolved. You're supposed to be insisting, you know. It says pressing, persuasive. You know, if you're not persuaded by now, I don't know what it's going to take. But you should be persuaded by now that God is good. And all the things he's done, he's doing right. It's not time to be doubting God. At this point, no. He says, go and you pack and you go. You're not supposed to be doubting any longer. You should be persuaded. You're supposed to believe now. He spoke it. I believe it. And what? And let's do it. Let's not reason it out. See? Everywhere to hear the word of God. Everywhere to hear the word of God. Staying with the word. That's what Brother Man said. The church today has to be pressing. It has to be persuasive. In something else. And then it says everywhere. Everywhere to hear the word of God and stand with the word of God. Amen. And that's what I'm saying. You know, sometimes we come to church and you hear the word of God. It's to you. It's in your lap now. What are you going to do with it? That's up to you. I can do what I can do. But that's all I can do. The rest is on you. Once we hear the word of God, you know, the problem is we are accountable for the word of God. If we understand what it is and what he wants us to do. So, Second Corinthians 3:18, I don't know if I have it there, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changing to same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of God. Amen. I'm almost done here. Let me give you a little anecdote. Because the only way I can understand things is to, you know, compare with the natural stuff. So I can understand. That's what I tell you about a wife and a husband. Because that's what the bridegroom and the bride. I can understand things that way. You know, like Brother Branagh, he was a topologist. He looked at nature. Then he, okay, that's what it is. So, you know, We are here now together, and we always come together. And we are expecting always when we come to church, we're expecting to hear something. If you come to church and you don't hear something, then you really wasted your time. Because the expectation is that I'm going to get something tonight that I'm going to need for tomorrow. Amen. And next time you come, you're going to, you know, we need to be moving forward. I'm moving forward. I'm always in an expectation. See, God is not going to give you something that he knows that you're not going to do. God knows you will do it. See, we come too far. God trusts you. God trusts what he put in you. Like Job, you will do it. So at one point, you know, I used to go camping with my children when they were children, at least once or twice a year. And I'm not a good sleeper. I'm not a good sleeper in my bed, and I'm not a good sleeper in the ground. I mean, I'm just too sensitive with things, you know. I wake up every 2 hours and I go back to sleep and I get 2 more hours and that's how I sleep. And when I'm there in the woods, I might sleep 45 minutes and then I try it again. I'm just a bad sleeper, that's what I am. Anyway, so then we go out there and about 4 o'clock in the morning, I was awake already anyway. So, but you know, 4 o'clock in the morning is the darkest hour there is. If you don't know that, that's what, you know, everybody knows. I just learned that. That is the dark. Before the sun comes out, that is the darkest hour. Do you know that we are living in the darkest hour? And you know why? Because the sun is ready to what? To shine. And because the sun is ready to shine, this is the darkest hour. But you need to sit still, you know, and believe God. Because this is the time where if somebody's going to be confused, it is this time. Because hardly is so dark that if you don't have something to trust, to take you through, you get lost. But we have a light. In the evening, we come light. So I like to go out there, and I just like to sit down. You know, I go to the hill and sit down, and I'm waiting for the sun to come up. At 4 o'clock in the morning, it's cold. But that's what I like to do. I like to sit on expectation. You know, I know what's going to happen. So I sit there in the dark, and it's dark, and it's cold. But I'm willing to wait. You know why? Because I know what's coming. See, I come to church, and I know what's coming. I will endure anything because I know what's coming. Because I'm not looking at the church, and I'm not looking at myself, and I'm not looking around me and people. I'm looking at what I have an expectation. Because I know one of these days, if you keep your eyes focused in that, one of these days the sun will rise. I know that it will rise because I know it will rise. It's been rising for 2,000, 6,000 years. I know it will. And I know it will come. And we're so close. So I sit there. Oh, I mean, just in an awe and expectation. And suddenly, way out there over the mountain, you see the little rays that come in the little light, and I get a little more excited. I know the sun is coming. And I sit there, and a little bit more, suddenly the sky starts turning kind of bluish, and I get more excited because I know what's coming after that. So I just, every time, I just sit there just to see the sun rise because I know one of these days, if I sit still and I keep my eyes on that goal, it will come. And we are so close that one of these days, before you know, you're going to see the sun rising up, the S-U-N. So I'm sitting there, and once I see the red, once I see it, I want to see this kind of a big, fiery ball coming through that. I know he's here. I know what's come next. The sun will rise in my life every day. That's my expectation. But you know what? I got to do something about it. I cannot say, well, I know the sun is going to come up, so let me go and do my thing. No, I'm in expectation when I wake up to see that sun rising because spiritually, that is the expectation that I have in my life. I come to church with an expectation. One of these days is going to be John, but it's going to be the last time I see the darkness. I know that this is one of the days, if I'm faithful enough and I stay still and I do what I have to do, one of these days I will see the sun shining. In Malachi 4:2, I don't know if I have it in there. It says, but unto you that fear my name shall the sun of what? Of righteousness. He is the S-O-N of righteousness. See, he is the good one. There's no one good but who? God. He's the one that do the right thing, the right way, the perfect way. He's the son of what? Right. Of righteousness. And you are the children of what? Righteousness. Of righteousness. Amen. Because you do his will. He said, the son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings. The Old Testament, the New Testament, see, coming together. I believe the old, and I believe the new, and I know that if I wait long enough, I don't care if I'm sick, I don't care if I pain, But I know one day the sun will rise. When, I don't know, but I will sit still until I see the sun rising. Because I know it will be healing. And my last healing is a change of what? Of my body. That is the ultimate healing. Brother went with the Lord, Brother Samson from Thai, and a couple of people are dying, not dying, they're just changing houses. I'm glad because they're not suffering anymore. Finally, they got to the ultimate healing. They're not suffering, they're not hungry, they are nothing, they are having, they get hungry when they come and pick up the body, but right now, they are the way they're supposed to be. See? And then sometimes we bet deep or, poor, he died. Well, he's in better shape than you are. He has a new body now. He's not worrying about anything now. Says, so, and ye shall go forth as what? And grow up like what? Cows. So you're going to be happy. Like, I know I lived in the country and you let those little things out of the barn. And they hop like kangaroos all over the place on the grass. I mean, they're happy. They're rejoicing that they are free, and the sun is shining. See, we should be the same way. So, arise. Arise, the Bible said. You can stand up. Arise. And shine, for the light is come. The Bible said. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Amen. If you are in expectation, every time you come to church, every time you wake up in the morning, you are in expectation that will be your last day. You can plan for 100 days, but you need to live like if it was your what? Your last day. I am more than I don't know the word to use. I don't even know what to describe to see that day. When he will come for the bride. I mean, it's going to be an awesome day. It's going to be. But you don't have to wait to then to be happy about it. You need to be happy today. Because the work is already done. And you already made it. Or you're waiting for the coming of the Lord. So I'm always having an expectation when I come to church. I don't know how you can come to church. I don't have an expectation that you will see him. Because that's why we come to church. He's here. His presence is here. How can you even let that go? I mean, is this a chance that I can be around him? I mean, you can be around him at home. He's with you. But when we get together, it's more him than at home. So how can you even let go an opportunity that you can feel his presence? I cannot live without his presence. I cannot live 1 minute without his presence. I need him. And I need church, and I need the people, because I need him. Because wherever his people are, there he is. And I want to be among that move. Amen. So I don't understand sometimes. I don't understand why do we forfeit our rights so easily to be in his presence. When we had the opportunity, have been provided, we have a nice place. We have a nice pastor, we have a nice minister, a nice deacon. Why would you forfeit the right to be in his presence for just an hour or two? I don't know. I love him that much. Do you? Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for your grace and mercy in our life. Father, we thank you because we know that Jesus Christ was our example. Father, and we are not going to move until we hear, we understand, and we are taught by you what to do, Father. We are that far in this message. We should be at a point, Father, that we will not do anything until we see you doing something. Jesus didn't do nothing. He didn't speak. He didn't cast no judgment. He didn't say anything until he saw it, he heard it, and then he done it, Father, because he saw the Father doing it. Right? And we should be, as a bride, there is no different. We should be at that point right now, that everything that we do is because we heard it, because we hear it, and because we understood it, and now we're walking right into it, Father. Because That is your purpose. That is your plan for our life. That we fulfill your righteousness. Fulfill your word in this day. And that means letting God control our actions, our thoughts, our everything in our lives. I know that it is God again in flesh, walking, talking. Because it's not my thought. It's not my speaking. It is his thought and his word. And that is what we're talking about. We want to see the third pool in our lives. We want to speak the word. But before we speak the word, we now have to make sure that we hear from you and we have a revelation of what you want us to say, Father. And we are in that point, Father, because we are expecting. Every time we come to church, we're expecting, Father, to be that and to do that. Shape us, Lord, when we come mold us, Father, to that image that you have before the foundation of the world, Father. Shape us. We come to church and change us, Father, from glory to glory, so we can become not just hearers, but doers of your word, Father, that we become a God in flesh again, walking, talking. That's what we want, Father. But to do that, we're going to have to yield ourselves completely. Our thoughts, our life, our bodies. Father, we have to surrender our life completely to you and let you, Father, lead that life through us. It's what we want, Father. Forgive us for our mistakes. Forgive us for our shortcomings. Forgive us, Father. Sometimes we do things that we are not to do, and the things that we do, we don't do. Forgive us, Father. We want to do what's right. Father, forgive us and help us, Father, because without you, like Jesus said, I can do nothing, Father. But I know you want to. That is the thing. I know you want to do that through my life. I just got to be willing and able to stand and say, Lord, do unto me as you have spoken, just like you told Mary. And that's what we want tonight, Father. Thank you for this Sunday. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the people that came, Father, your children. Father, thank you. We love you. And without you, Father, we can do nothing, and we are nothing without you, Father. If we are something, it's because you in us, Father. You make us what we are. At one time, we were so ugly and so yucky, just like a child, you know, in those pampers, you know, all that stuff. That's what we were. Our righteousness was just thinking, Father. But one day you came and you made something beautiful out of this life, Father. Father, and that's what we want. We're in love with you, and we want you to have your way in our lives. Father, help us to understand. Help us to do what's right. We have the old word, like Brother Branham said, and we have that said the Lord. Father, and we thank you because you have not, your hands are not short. Father, the reason that we don't have it, because when we ask for our own, you know, self, for our own desires. But if we ask right and we wait upon the Lord, things will happen the way it should happen, Father. Help us, Father, to realize that without you, everything that we've done, any decision, anything that we said or speak to our brothers and sisters, let it be something that is constructive, something that is encouraging, something that comes from your word, Father, not our word, but your word. Father, help us to love one another the way we love you love us, Father. Help us to be a group, a body. Father, help us that to accomplish that you have in your mind before the foundation of the world, Father. I don't have any thought coming to me. I don't have no idea how you're going to do it and who is going to do it and when we're going to do it. I know one thing. We are here as a body, and I know that this is your purpose. You saw all this before the foundation of the world. We are in this church. We are in this place at a specific time because you already predestined these things to happen. Father, this is not casuality that I found this church or that I found that. This is something that you are doing. And I know that you started the work, and I'm here now, Father, and I'm yielding myself to you. I'm consecrating myself to you, Father. Use me, Father. I don't know my place, my position, but whatever I understand it is, that's what I will do, Father. And I will grow until that day that you will come and the sun will rise with healing wounds, Father. Father, we love you. We thank you. Bless the deacons. Bless the trustees. Bless the musicians. Bless everybody that is here tonight and take them home sound and safe. Father, we love you and help us, Father, because the only thing we want to do is your will. That is all our desire, Father. Help us, Father. I know you. You are ready to help. But just help us and help me to surrender my mind, my soul, my body to you so you can use it for your own glory and honor. And in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen and amen. Amen. You want to sing? Well, sure. I know you're not going to say no. God bless you guys. Yes.